All right, Clowncore and comic fans, HVK here, and it's time for our review of Common America Volume 8, because I think on Friday, I got the hard copy for this book, even though the digital copies went out, maybe a month ago, 2 months ago? And I did download the digital copy, but most of my reading, as I mentioned to somebody who had asked me about when my review is coming out, most of my reading is done at night in bed, and I am not going to bring my laptop with me in bed to read, so I usually wait for the physical copies to come in before I can make any moves on that. It's also how I prefer to read things. I like feeling something in my hands when I actually read as opposed to just staring at a screen. It kind of helps me relax a little bit. It's an interesting one to review, and that doesn't mean that it is bad. It's an interesting one to review because some of the things I feel like I predicted have certainly come true. And there's a lot of loose ends with this story. So as opposed to the first arc, the first four volumes, where you have a very clear creation of the Common Core, right? Like, this is sort of the goal. That arc is like the foundation, right? Of this is creating who, this is establishing who these people are. This is establishing what they're about, their personalities, all that kind of stuff. This second arc, these four volumes, is more so, I think, about establishing the sort of direction that the story is going to go, the sort of problems and issues that will arise, the sort of struggles that Carly or Misha or Sylvia, even Kimiko, all of these characters will face moving forward. This is sort of that arc. This is not what I would call a sexy arc. It is certainly not nearly as action-packed as the previous one, if I'm being perfectly honest. At least I didn't find it to be that way. When I read comics, I like a lot of action. There was not nearly the same degree of action in this arc. However, this arc also feels more important to the general direction of things moving forward. I know when I interviewed Mark and Tim, they had said that they have like the first 20 to 22 volumes already sort of planned out in the directions that things will go. And I think this is the kind of, I think this is the arc that's going to have a lot to do with that moving forward. There's a lot of things that get established here that do not get resolved, and I'm going to kind of hit on those. So I want to break it down into my usual stuff, right? We'll talk about the good, we'll hit some of the criticisms or the bad, and then kind of what I think things will be moving forward. So starting off with the good, the first thing I want to say, and I don't usually comment on this sort of thing, but the cover art on these books is always really, really good, you know, and I know that that's not perhaps saying much to some people, because even Marvel and DC will do a good job of putting good cover art on shit books, but these guys really do make very eye-grabbing covers, whether they are commissioning them out to other people, because they don't always look like Timothy Lim's art, but like for me, I have the Kickstarter cover for all of mine, and they're always very eye-grabbing, they're very attention-drawing what's going on. You got Carly holding the Swift Sword and all that kind of stuff. It very much grabs the attention. Sometimes they could be a little misleading, like on Volume 7, which I got right here, they have it look like Carly and Misha are going to kind of come to blows. That doesn't really happen, obviously, throughout the book, but they're always very good eye-grabbing covers. So props to that. I think they all look fantastic. The interior art also is obviously very good. I've talked about Timothy Lim's style a lot. One of the things I haven't really mentioned before, though, is he always sort of slightly changes his art style. There's little subtle differences in character designs and the way things are, and I don't know if that's supposed to reflect a certain mood in the book or if it's just natural artistic evolution over time. I'm not really sure. But everyone looks great in the book. I think the only criticism I really have sometimes is that sometimes the male characters look a little the same. Like Siggy looks a little bit, to me, looks fairly like Carly's father, Mr. Vanders. A lot of, even to the Sawyer, wow. From Black Ops, they all kind of share very similar facial designs, as opposed to the girls, which tend to be a little bit more easily defined, even if it's just through their hair, because even Zen or Pyro kind of looks similar to the other two men. So the only criticism I have is that a lot of his male characters have a tendency to look fairly similar insofar even as like body shape. Whereas even if you wanted to say that, oh, the girls might have similar facial structures in terms of how their heads are shaped, they have different hairstyles, their bodies are different shapes. Misha is in much better shape than any of the others outside of maybe, and then, you know, Sylvia's in the next best shape. But even Tim even goes so far as, I'm going to be honest here, their boob sizes are different, right? Their body shapes are different. Kimiko is by far the skinniest out of all the girls. Like, everybody's kind of different. There's more detail on the females than there are in the males. And sometimes outside of hair color, it's a little difficult to tell who the men are, especially when there's multiple of them on the page. That's the only criticism I have about the art, though. The story is good. It is the adequate conclusion that I expected. And when I say adequate conclusion, that doesn't mean that the writing is bad, but what it does mean is that it ends in a fairly predictable way. If you listen to my Volume 7 review, I said that this will probably end in something approaching a Pyrrhic victory. That the Common Core will win in all due technicality, but moving forward beyond this arc, it's going to seem like it wasn't a win. And the reality is, this entire story arc from Volume 5 till now, they've kind of been behind the eight ball, right? They've been reacting to everything that the Xena Rangers were doing, to what Prestige Incorporated and Cynthia are doing. They got betrayed by Dr. Well, I'm not... spoiler, I guess, on that one, although I'm sure most of the people that are listening to this have probably already read it. But they do get betrayed by somebody that they sort of trusted at one point. There's a lot that kind of happens within the story here. I will say, as a personal criticism, I hated that Misha kind of got relegated to the background, to being a little bit of like the catalyst for Siggy to sort of realize what his feelings for Carly actually were. And she was very much relegated to the background on that. And I would like to, again, that's the character I liked the most coming out of the first arc. So I want to see more of her. However, we got to see a lot more of Sylvia, who was my least favorite coming out of the first arc, and now she's probably my second favorite behind Misha, probably tied with Carly, a little bit higher than Carly. I think Sylvia has a very complex and interesting story moving forward, and what I will say is that there is an event that happens in this one, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it is a very turning point event, and I think the way it's done is so well executed. You know, when I've talked to people, Douglas Ernst or Mark and Tim or several other writers, everybody always tries to put some sort of their own virtues into the book, whether they know it consciously or subconsciously. I catch myself doing it when I write as well. And there's a moment with somebody very important to Carly, her cornerstone, if you will, that really resonates and carries through to the end of the book and really gives everything this, it drives home. It would have been a Pyrrhic victory without this moment, but this moment in particular really makes that Pyrrhic victory personal for Carly and for, well, for a lot of the girls, frankly. And it, how do I say this without spoiling it? It shows that the morality of the individuals involved, right? And it's the, you know, are you doing the right thing even to people that have done wrong by you? And it made me question the book. And I, you know, me being me and you know, my past experiences being what they are, I looked at it as like, man, I would have left them to die personally. And it makes you really think about your own sort of, what would I do in that situation? What would I do for somebody else that was literally just about to kill me? And, you know, it's worth asking yourself that question. And the fact that I kind of came away from the book asking that question means that that moment was truly impactful for what it was, not just emotionally and not just for the story, but also for that moment in time where it just kind of makes you take a step back and go, well, what would I do? You know, and sometimes, a lot of times, you have these books just sort of preach to you about what you should do. And this book almost seemed to ask the question, like, what would you do if you were this man in this position and this person had just tried to kill you? Would you have just left them? Would you, you know, it's an interesting question to ask there. Anyway, another great moment I thought was funny. You get Zener Ecto, who we now know is some sort of a ghoul, ghost, spirit, what have you, gets trapped by, I can't ever remember her real name, but Marmot Maiden, and she's got like a Ghostbusters backpack, and she's trapping him. Like little humor, visual gag, humor points like that always score points with me. Even if it is a little unceremonious, there's a couple of moments, and that's one of my criticisms. I'll use that to segue into the criticisms. The way the Xenor Rangers kind of get handled was a little anticlimactic for me. So you have Xenor Pyro, he gets landed on by Henshi, which is Marmot Maiden's marmot, who can shapeshift depending on what he eats, and he lands on him, he almost looks like a giant toilet bowl when he does it, but he basically takes him out of the fight, right, by just landing on him. And then you have Xenor Hydro that gets picked up by Common Ramen, Kimiko, has this giant mecha noodle cup that just pitches her down the Hoover Dam, right? Funny scenes, all you know, don't get me wrong, but it for a group that had so very much given the Common Core so much trouble, I expected a little bit more of a showdown. I wanted to see a showdown between the Common Core and the Xenor Rangers, less the Common Core and some super-powered giant automaton robot that sort of looked like Voltron, if I'm being honest. So I didn't really get the fight that I was hoping for, you know? Like, I understand that there was an implication about more evil individuals behind the Xenor Rangers, and the Xenor Rangers were only kind of a front for those things, and I understand that. And they even address that in the back of the book about useful idiots and things like that, right? About, you know, facades that only work for a short amount of time and all this kind of stuff. Like, I understand what they were going for there. But again, the action junkie in me would have loved to have seen that showdown, a little 5-on-5. And I say 5-on-5 because we get, this is a spoiler, so fast forward probably about a minute or two before this. And this is one of the criticisms is we get Vicky's redemption, right? She shows up as Vermilion Masquerade. Her and Hair Trigger and Jackknife are trying to save a bunch of people. Now, again, this is like the Suicide Squad of their universe, right? Like, these are all criminals or villains of some sort that are now trying to do the right thing. And we started to see Vicky's redemption take place in the Black Ops Soulfinder Common America crossover because of Father Redder. And what it feels like there is a deeper redemption arc story that we should have gotten that we were kind of cheated out of for the big, spoiler again, Common Terra reveal moment, which felt a little bit like a Super Saiyan transformation to me. Only, I don't know, there was something about it that felt very hollow to me. Like, in the entire grand scheme of everything that was going on, her absolute redemption into basically a member of the Common Core, like casting aside Vermilion Masquerade and becoming a member of the Common Core, really felt like it should have been a grander moment, and it wasn't there. And it felt like most of her redemption happens off screen that eventually leads to the conversation she has with her father and her transformation. Also, by the way, I don't know why, but I thought the fact that she just literally goes Super Saiyan, and then she has a common, Common Core style uniform. I don't know why, but I found that incredibly corny. Mark, Tim, I love you guys. I've talked to you. You know, I love your guys' work. Something about that landed really hollow with me, and I can't explain why. It felt like it should have been a bigger moment. It felt like it should have been its own thing. It literally should have felt like Vicky should have had more struggles. And perhaps forward, we will see more of that, where she still struggles to forgive herself. And perhaps her redemption arc isn't over. And I just kind of felt like it was. It didn't really hit home for me, though, the way it was. Their weapons, like everybody, Carly's got the Swift Sword. I love how it kind of looks like the Statue of Liberty torch. But then Misha gets like a flare gun, and Kimiko gets a bow, well, Sylvia's armor is just the armor, but then Common Terra gets a shovel, like some little tongue-in-cheek there. It feels a little bit too Power Rangers or Common Rider, and I understand that these things are definitely inspirations that they're taking from, but it felt a little corny for me. You know, I am all for you use your powers, you shoot your energy beams, Kamehameha, all that kind of stuff. I want to see people throw some more punches. I mean, Carly does throw a punch, but we'll talk about that in a second. So I do like what they did there, but I understand why they did it, I should say. But again, it felt a little almost cheese to me. but it is what it is. It felt a little bit too Voltron, right? Like, if you ever watch the old Voltron, and he pulls his sword out, same thing with the Megazord in Power Rangers. As soon as they pull the weapon out, you knew the fight was over, right? Maybe that was just it. Instead of punching and kicking only to pull the weapon out and the fight be over, we just skip straight to the weapon part. I don't know. We were running out of time, maybe. So we do have some predictions now moving forward, because those are really the only complaints I have. I like that there was a sense of bleakness at the end of this arc, right? For a book that has largely felt upbeat, I like that this arc was actually darker in many ways, and I liked that it kind of leaves off with that sort of negative cliffhanger. But we do get some things here. So I talked about Vicky's redemption. I'm just looking through my notes. So Cynthia is a great villain. This is going to be the Doctor Doom of the Common Core, or at least I hope that's what she's going to be. She is going to be that persistent villain that's always in the background. She's like the Lex Luthor, the Doctor Doom, the Magneto, if you will, that persistent villain that's kind of, even if they don't fight directly, is the mastermind. And I do like that we don't actually get a direct confrontation between her and the Common Core, because she is going to be a thorn in their side, and she is going to be a wedge, I think, that causes more of a fracture within the team. Even though the team still came together in the end here, I still say that there are fractures within this team. I still say that Kimiko is going to have some issue with her role on the team, which we saw earlier within the arc where she felt as if she was useless. And now she, moving forward, now that Carly clearly has issue with Cynthia, who, in her own words, never let a tragedy go to waste. Carly, I guess this is a minor spoiler, Carly punches her in the face on television, making the Common Core look worse, even though the Common Core has been getting bad press this entire arc. Hey, heroes getting bad press, that's nothing new. We've seen that in the days of Spider-Man, X-Men, this is Batman. This is nothing new, right? It's kind of a hallmark of American hero mythologies. So I feel as if there's going to be more fractures there. It's clear that Cynthia still has some pull over Sylvia, because Sylvia lost her dad at a young age and Cynthia was all she had, right? And it's clear that she sort of, for lack of a better term, groomed Sylvia into this sort of common victory, or what was it, common UN role that she originally was, and that she's a master manipulator. Right? Like, that's why I say she's like the Doctor Doom of this whole thing. Like, she's a master manipulator, and she's very, very dangerous. She's very, very cold-hearted. She kills a bunch of people that are supposed to be on her side just to be able to execute the plan and not get caught. She is definitely going to be a thorn that's around. I don't think there's going to be any real conflict between Misha and Carly, at least not overtly. But it'll be interesting to see. I think Siggy might still be a flashpoint for the two of them, if only because perhaps Carly doesn't move on Siggy and it upsets Misha, because she clearly still cares about Siggy. But we'll see. So I think there's a fracture point for Sylvia. Kimiko's fracture point, I think, is the fact that her family now sponsors, Visions by Vanders and the Common Core consequently. All this negative press is probably going to blow back onto their sales and their production, and now her family is probably going to lean on her to try and clean up the public image of the Common Core and Carly, because they're losing a lot of money in this. And then we go back to Carly's hesitation about taking on such a big corporate sponsor to begin with. There's a couple of great moments here where, you know, Cynthia even has a conversation with Lansky about, sure, aliens aren't real, but people have a tendency to double down on their biases when their beliefs are shown to be, or their biases are shown to be, like, incorrect, basically. Again, talking about the whole fight the light thing and misinformation, a lot of stuff. Some really good, subtle sort of lines there, right, that are kind of universally applicable, even if you know kind of who Mark and Tim are jabbing at. And there's this whole move to make, on Cynthia's part, to make Carly, put Carly on an island, right? Carly's cornerstone, the individual that served that, is gone now, you know? And we see Carly turn to this person a lot, and that person's gone. So now Carly kind of has to do it herself. And she's already struggled to try and embody the principles and the values and the morality of what the American flag and the Constitution are supposed to be. She's putting a lot on her shoulders, and now she doesn't even have that cornerstone, and people are going to rely on her, and they're going to put more pressure on her. So I would love to see if Carly kind of goes through this a little bit more of a violent turn, if I'm being honest, you know, like a little bit more of a no shit, I'm going to take people and, you know, put people down kind of thing, that if she had been a little bit more, you know, aggressive in her, in the way she handles villains and things like that, maybe things would have turned out differently. You know, get a little daredevil with it, right? Have that, a little bit of that, you know, religion clearly plays a big part in Carly's life. Have a little bit of that daredevil-esque, like, religious tension with what she wants to do, because we haven't seen anybody really get violent yet, right? And maybe Mark and Tim don't intend for that, but I also don't think they shy away from it. We see a couple of people get shot. We see some heads get blown off, even though it's of Zener Ecto, who can always pull his head back together. But it's clear that they don't necessarily have... Sorry about that. I guess the Pooches decided that they wanted to give their two cents about the review as well. But it's clear that they don't necessarily have an issue with violence. We've even seen it with Black Ops, right? So I'm curious if maybe we see Carly take a little bit more of that aggressive sort of quote-unquote dark path kind of turn a little bit while she sort of sorts out herself, because it's clear that the team is going to be relying on her, and it's clear that the people that she relies on aren't necessarily always going to be there. And what do we see from that character? And there's a chance there to tell a really good story about Carly's own internal struggles, and I'll be interested to see that, because we haven't seen as much of Carly's depth in a while as we have certain other characters. She's been a little bit of a slow build kind of character, with a lot of the side scenes that we see with her parents, talking to Siggy, with a lot of things like that. But a little bit more of an introspection on her. That's kind of the problem I have with adding Vicky to the team on top of it, is, and this is one of the reasons why I've never personally been a fan of team books. And when I started reading Common America, it didn't seem like it was going to be a team book. But the problem with team books always is that somebody's left by the wayside, right? I already commented about how Misha was kind of left by the wayside. Kimiko, it almost became a joke about how she was left by the wayside, hence her saying that she felt useless, right? It's hard to balance making all these characters feel important, which is why I was never a fan, really, of the Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men. The only team book I've ever really been a fan of is the Ninja Turtles. And that was because it was just really well done. Eastman and Laird did a really good job balancing how they were as a family. And then Eastman and Waltz did with the IDW stuff. So if they can balance it in that way, now that those sorts of things are established, it can be really good. If they can't, then it's going to feel like everybody becomes a little bit more of like a caricature of certain things. Like, oh, Misha's the tough girl tomboy. Sylvia's the, you know, the pretty popular one, right? Kimiko becomes a little bit of the gag character. And then, you know, Carly is sort of the Seinfeld, if you will, the straight man in the middle of all of it. And then wherever Vicky would fall in within that dynamic. So it's going to be tough, in my opinion, for them to navigate five characters and give them equal screen time and have them all feel important. And I know certain arcs, certain characters are going to feel more important than others. And that's just kind of the way it is. And Carly will obviously be the center of all of it, but different characters will have different arcs. But just a little bit of caution I have with moving forward with this. But otherwise, I think I'm really interested to see if something comes from the business side with Kimiko's family. I'm really interested to see where we go with Misha, because I'm not really sure what the plan with her right now is. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Sylvia and her stepmother. Zener Psycho is still on the loose, and it's clear now that he is a high-ranking individual in Washington, D.C. So is the Common Core going to become an enemy of the state in some regard, adding to that pressure, giving it a little bit of that, like, those moments in time where, like, Captain America has to go against, you know, in order to fight for the values of America, you have to go against the government a little bit, right? Are we going to get a story like that? That'll be interesting as well. And who is exactly is Zenner Psycho? And then the other question I have is, are we going to see a change of heart with Zenner Techno? And that's my fear. Now seeing that Vicky has undergone her redemption arc, and it's not that she's just been redeemed. She's formally a member of the Common Core at this point. Do you get another member of the Common Core based on what's gone on with Zenner Techno? Or does Zenner Techno in some way become the their oracle, right? Because she's in a wheelchair right now. I don't know if she's crippled or not. But she might, is she going to be their oracle, so to speak? Somebody, it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of stuff on the table. Like I said, this was not the most exciting arc. If you're looking for like a blockbuster sort of grab your attention kind of thing, they did a great job with that in the first four. This is the foundation of the story moving forward. So is it going to be the sexiest arc? No, but this is kind of the arc of like where Gwen Stacy dies, right? It's going to go down as like, this is the important linchpin that sort of establishes Carly's character, the way that established Peter's character moving forward. So overall, it's the book by itself, it's hard to rate because it's so tied into everything that came before it. But as a conclusion to this arc, I think the book is solid. I would say this one probably like a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10 for me. It was solid. Like I said, I don't find it to be as exciting as the first arc, but I am excited to see with everything that's been left on the table where it goes from here. So check it out. I highly recommend these books. I highly recommend you always start from volume one. I think that's the best jumping on point. I don't think volume five and this arc is a good jumping on point because you're kind of, they treat it as if you know what's going on. They don't rehash things. They don't recycle things. They don't treat you like a dummy and give you a recap. They assume if you're here, you've read everything else. So if you do decide to back this on Kickstarter or Indiegogo or purchase it on the Iconic Comics website, do yourself a favor and start from the beginning. Don't just try to jump into it. Start from the beginning. Read volume one. You won't be disappointed. This is one of the last few American comics where pretty girls are drawn as pretty girls. It's like this and Coffin Comics with Lady Death, and that's kind of about it as far as I can think of off the top of my head, right? So Common America Volume 8, I recommend it. Not the strongest recommendation I've ever given for this series, but I do recommend it. I think it was a solid read. I think the second arc is going to be very important. I've already said that, and we're going up on a half hour already of me rambling, but there's a lot to break down. This has been a very informative arc. I'll just put it that way. I'm HVK. That's all I got. Hope you guys liked it. The end.